If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're honored and distinguished guest of the audience. Amen. And we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. Believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He suffered for you. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus to be the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Then you will be added to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the only church you ever read about in the Bible. Amen. Y'all pray for my wife. She left this morning, went to the emergency room. She's been sent back home. Of course, she's at home now. So tomorrow will be the, I'm getting my prayer request in up front. So you'll know at the end to pray for her. We go for the TE tomorrow, which will determine if we're going to have to move forward toward the heart surgery. We accept God's will to be done, whatever it may be. So we just thank you for your prayers. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm doing an important series, and then one I'm hoping to put into a book form, so I'm kind of slowing down the discussion a little bit because I want to be able to get the details, and as I add to it, certainly I'll be bringing the lessons here at Holland Heights. And the lesson, the series that I'm doing is called PTSD. PTSD, and I introduced it week before last, as an introduction to give you the concept of what I was speaking about. And where we're coming from with this whole concept or this whole PTSD concept. It is a mental disorder. PTSD is a post-traumatic stress disorder. And I talked about that. And today I'm talking about, and I'll recap that a little bit, but there's cold blood that flows from this disorder. And when we look at this, every individual in your life must look at your own life. You must look in the mirror to see your own disorder. Every one of us are exposed to a post-traumatic situation. And this is not on. But when they turn that on for me. So let me just, the medical term is post-traumatic stress disorder. And often it's a mental disorder caused by some trauma post. It's something that we went through, something that that person dealt with. Oftentimes we look at PTSD, the people who have gone to wars and seen tragedies or trauma, tragic events or deaths. And then you have the traumatic events that happen in people's lives were rape and molestation and all these terrible things that can happen to a person in their post. It's always post-traumatic. You never deal with something in the future. Post-traumatic means you dealt with what happened in your past. Many people today in the church, amen, are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorders. But I want to approach it from this thought, that when you have a post-traumatic stress disorder, then the fix to the post-traumatic stress disorder is making sure you don't have a post-traumatic spiritual disorder. Because if I can get the post-traumatic spiritual in order, then I'll relieve the stress of the disorder. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so it's always looks like this when we just talk about it. This is simply your life. From the time you're born, you'll live a thing called life until you die. Okay, and life is always in the forward direction. You start counting years, and you celebrate your birthday, but all you're doing is celebrating closer to death. But so here you are right now in your life. You could be from the childhood, all the way to your current age. You put your age down there. If you're 60, 70 years old, you have a post situation. Everything that you're dealing with right now happened in your past. Y'all understand? And so when we look at post, it's what happened in my past. It's not in my future. But I can carry my post into my future because I have a disorder. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the trauma happens in my post. So as I'm dealing with my trauma right now, the trauma came from my past. And so what I dealt with, and someone asked me, I'm in part 3 this time because what I'm talking about with Holler Heights, you all have been around me long enough to know what I mean when I say travail. A lot of people don't know what travails are, but travail is a childbearing kind of situation. It's a childbearing-like pain. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I'm just recapping now, in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and the verse number 13, here's what Solomon said. He said this,
And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven.
Done while a man is living on earth. Read.
This sore travail has God given.
That's the word right there. This sore travail. A travail is a childbearing like pain. Anything that are happening in your life is a sore travail. He said, now this sore travail has God given
to the sons of men to be exercised therewith.
Now, if you were raped, God could have stopped the rape. Amen. If you were molested, yes, God could have stopped the molestation. You know, he could stop any pain he wanted to. But there are things in our life that you got to accept that's going to happen in your post. There are things that are happening all of our life that's in our post. Amen. In the past, it had to happen when you were growing up. It could have happened yesterday. It may have just happened to you yesterday, but it's post now. And so God allowed it. And if you have PTSD, then this trauma is stressing you. And the reason the trauma is stressing you because you have a spiritual disorder. You follow what I'm saying? Because when you know that God has control, then he handed to you this situation. He handed you this trauma to be exercised. I'm just recapping. And the exercise means I can choose to deal with the pain with God or without God. Now, let me get it. If I got PTSD in the spiritual mountain, I deal with the pain without God. Y'all follow what I'm saying? But if I don't have PTSD, the spiritual disorder, then I deal with the stress, but there's another side. That's what I'm going to be dealing with today. So the reason I did part one and two, because part one is only dealing with the facts that this thing is a not only medical, clinical, and spiritual. And I'm saying if we get the spiritual in order, then the medical comes in order. I can deal with stress when I deal with it with God. Y'all with me? Mm-hmm. So as Christians, we have to make sure that we don't have PTSD. Spiritual disorder. Make sense? Okay, and so when I recap that thing, the spiritual disorder develops over time. The stress disorder happens immediately. Amen. But we can come out of the paradigm shift out of the stress into spiritual. Once we get the spiritual in order, then the relief comes in the PTSD stress. Now, I want to put this in big form because I really believe that not only the whole world has this issue, every one of us got one. Now, some of you in here right now, you have never dealt with your past. That's why you can't grow spiritually. Because you've never dealt with your past spiritually. You've always been out of order on your path. You want everyone to accept you like you are. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I went through. How can you tell me about me? That's your problem. Because you have never dealt with you. Because you've been stressed out. You still stressed out. Because you act out. You say, what are you saying, Brother Brooks? Here's PTSD symptoms. Symptoms. And you make it this afternoon, because I won't be able to get all this into this 30 minutes. I'm trying to keep afternoon service in 30 minutes or less. But if you say keep going, I might. But if y'all anything like the brother word and brother meeting, they didn't say keep going. They wanted to go to sleep. Them brothers went to sleep. But this is a serious discussion, isn't it? Because there are behaviors that tell us you have not dealt with your PTSD. You still have a stress disorder. And here's how you make a spiritual diagnosis. You leave here today and tell yourself if you have PTSD or not. And here's how you symptom. Number one, clinical PTSD, they see behavior changes. Agitation, the person is agitated easily. The person is irritable, full of hostility, hypervigilance. I get to that in a minute. Self-destructive behavior. This person has social isolation. Number two, you see psychological evidences, flashbacks, fears, severe anxiety, and mistrust, moods, loss of interest, pleasures in activities, can't be themselves no more, loaded with guilt, or filled with loneliness. Sleep is a disorder, evidences of the disorder. The person has insomnia. The person is up late nights, can't sleep, tossing and turning, and even having nightmares. They have an emotional situation, emotional detachment, unwanted thoughts, responding with emotions, often crying, often sad, often depressed, because they have PTSD. Oppression comes, that was chapter part one. When oppression comes, they suppress their past. Okay. I say when oppression comes, that's the trauma. Then they suppress it in their past and they never deal with it. So because they suppress, they go into depression. And you see emotional changes, behavioral changes, psychological changes, mood changes, and even sleep disorders. When one looks at life, life will send sores, S-O-R-E. A sore is a wound, a painful event. Sores must heal. The way you know a sore has not healed, it has a scab on it. And if it still hurts, then it's not healed. And anything that triggers the event is an unpeeling of the scab. Now, if you have a sore and you pull the scab, something flows from the wound. What flows from the wound is blood. Y'all with me, aren't you? So now that we've part one, two, which I moved through, three, now that you know the trauma and you know what yours is, now you know if I'm talking about you, because it happens in homes, in marriages, to children, to husbands, to wives, to members of the church, to boyfriends, to girlfriends, to sisters, to brothers, to mamas, and to daddies. Every one of us have a post. But how many of you got a sore from your post? I often use this one, is that when I was a young man, a young boy, riding a mini bike, you know, you pull them up, crank them. You remember that, DJ? You never seen a mini bike, have you? You had one? Boy, I used to like them mini bikes. That little thing, I thought, oh, yee, yee, yee. You know, you could see me as a little boy, couldn't you? You know, you as a child, you're just having fun. I don't mean anybody. I ain't think. Now, that my dad didn't warn me about crossing the road, cross the street, because in Hillpeer, you got a two-way street, well, a road right down through our town, right down what we call Daniel Town, which means my family, where we all live there. We cross the road, go up to Uncle Tommy's house, Uncle Tom's house, Aunt Ira's house, Aunt Little Laney. Y'all got some of them, ain't you? Uncle Adair. Y'all know about all them uncles and aunties, don't you? And my grandmother was up the street, and Dad Tom was up there, and that was her father. And so I'm little Tommy. They call me Tommy in Hempel. Tommy. And say, Tommy. And so you stay out the road, boy. Yes, sir. Yeah, that was Uncle Ada. I said, whatever you do. But anyway, I did have a ride in the minibike, brother. And I was getting it, boy. You know, it was the dirt down there. You could throw around, boom. And I ain't look. You know, they say look both ways before you cross the street. I look straight in, boom, right in the side of a truck. Now, I'm still alive, aren't I? A little second earlier, 1 second earlier, I'd have been dead because it ran right over top of him. So it wasn't my time to go, was it? Amen. But I thought I was gone because I was seeing 3 or 4 of my daddies come running at me with 4 or 5 of them coming down the street. I was wobbling. My lip was busted, man. Blood was coming all out of my mouth. I couldn't see. I was seeing everything. I was hurting. I was crying. And my hand had got all scarred up and slid down the road. And the lady that was driving the truck, she thought, oh, you all right? So she was there. Now, back then, white people, hey, man, I'm on TV, ain't I? Okay, yeah. But anyway, you know, back in the South, you know, but she really did have a good heart that day because she didn't want to make sure she ran over a little black boy like me. And then so she said, oh, Lord, you all right? I said, I didn't know if I was all right or not. And then they rushed me to the hospital. And my mother, she worked at the Dr. Winslow, same doctor in our town. When one doctor and my mother worked for him. Amen. Anyway, long story short, see that right there? What is that? A scar? That's where you remember that they put them stitches in there. My mom said, I was like, oh, she said, be quiet, shut up. You shouldn't have been trotting the road anyway. I wonder about mamas like that. She just, I'm over there hurting, she tell me to shut up. Because she on me because I shouldn't have never been on the bike crossing the road. If I'd have been like, that's what we need today, some mamas like that. Say, you shut up. If you'd have been doing what I told you, you wouldn't have gotten in your trouble like you got into. And now you're hurting. Shut up and take the needle. So they start sewing me up. And anyway, sure enough, I walked out there all bandaged up, lips sewed up in the lip, sewed up in here. I got the scar here. But I want you to touch that right there for me. Oh, I mean, no, I'm just. You touch it? You see it? You don't see? Put your glasses on. You see that scar right there? It's barely. She said, barely. I got that scar when I was a little boy. You know, she touched it and rubbed it. Guess what? I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it at all. Mike, you want to know why I didn't feel it? It's healed. But there's a scar there, isn't it? The scar is my memory. Now, the scar is memory of the trauma. Y'all with me? But it don't hurt no more. Did it hurt when it happened? Yes. Will I remember that I did it? Yes. Will I remember the details of it? Yes. Oh, that's the next lesson. I'm through. I'm sorry. I can't do that one yet. That's next. The scab, if it had not healed, when she touched it, I would have said, oh, because she was getting ready to pull off what? The scab, which means if she pulled the scab off, then I would see blood flowing out. Is that right? Y'all with me? So evidences that healing has not taken place will be in the cold red blood that flows from the wound upon any reminder or trigger. In the medical PTSD, they call it triggers. Triggers. I'm saying spiritually is memory. Because you can't get rid of memory. So the spiritual man, a woman, must understand that their triggers will be memory. And when the trigger happens, someone do something that makes you remember it, then you fold cold blood. Now, cold-blooded acts, when it's a spiritual disorder, are things like you stop speaking. You don't answer your phone no more. You block them. You have this cold-hearted treatment, cold comments, insensitive treatment, unforgiveness, leaving the person abandoned, lonely, isolated, neglected. I'm talking about when people injure you. I'm talking about relationships where that cold blood is when you seek revenge. You're trying to retaliate. You angry when you see them. Your anger leads to wrath. Then you have a stalking or plotting plan. Cold blood. Or in medical PTSD, it's called hypervigilance, will occur without thought of what you're doing to the other person that hurt you. When people have post-traumatic spiritual disorder, they'll kill you with words, with looks, or with plain silence. You know, don't you? I ain't got to say nothing because you know the way I look at you. I remember what you done, Unc. You remember you're molesting me, don't you? You think I forgot? Family reunion. You remember? My look tell you I'm not healed. My words will cut. My actions will hurt you. My intent is to retaliate because you hurt me. Quiet this afternoon. Hypervigilance refers to the experience of being constantly tense and on guard. Your brain is in high alert in order to be certain that the danger is not near. The fear of being hurt again. Your brain is on constant alert, and the results can be inappropriate and even aggressive reactions to prevent return of the pain, because I never was healed. And so now we're dealing with the flow of the blood is cold. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he says, behold, the tears of such as were oppressed. Why? They had no comforter. And on the side of the oppressor,
There was power.
This is what I want to show you. I'm going to show you the person with spiritual disorder is on the other side once they're in this mode. Because the blood is cold, they're having cold treatment, because on the side of the oppressor is power. And the oppressor himself has power. And so when you have a spiritual disorder, you have to understand who is it that made your person who hurt you your enemy. You see, this is why children cannot forgive a daddy who was never there for them when he tried to be there for them, because you hurt me when I was a child. You was not with me when I was a child. You abandoned me when I was a child. And I hurt still this day. And the reason I hurt, because you are now the enemy. And it happens when one is unfaithful to another. It happens in marriages that wasn't married because of love, and because there's two enemies. There's an enemy in the house, and the enemy is the other man, the woman, or the woman or the man in the house, and you're in the same house, but you're not friends. You don't act like friends. You don't talk like friends. You don't treat each other like friends, because you are not friends. Why? You're on your dark side. That's why. Dark-sided people can't talk like spiritual people. When you're on the dark side, understand who's guiding your behavior, who's guiding your psychology, who's guiding your emotions. Let me be the first one to tell you who it is. He's known as O Satan, which means adversary. He's known as the devil, which means he's a slanderer. He's known as the tempter, with me. He tempts you to do wrong. It means he's known the wicked one. My treatment of you is wicked, because I'm on the dark side. He's known as Beelzebub. I go down dirty, filthy, to take you out. He said, Brother Brooks, ain't no Christian. Church people do it all the time. Why do you think churches split? Why do you think folk run from one situation to another? They do harm, they'll leave you, and they'll tell you on their way out, you are not my friend. And they'll throw you under the bus, as we call it. They'll make your name like dirt. They'll rub your name in the mud. Why? Cold blood. From the oppressor. His name is Belial, because he's reckless, he's lawless, he cares nothing about what God say do. When people got PTSD, spiritual disorder, the one in control of the behavior, who's influencing the behavior, is known as the strong man. He's known as the prince of the devil, the chief of the devil, the prince of the world, the prince of the power of the air. He's known as a serpent. In other words, a serpent bite to kill. There's some people, they bite to kill. They are going to take you out. And in my mind, it's justified. Because you shouldn't done what you done. You know you hurt me, don't you? Don't you know it? You don't know? You don't know you hurt? But you do, don't you? Yeah, you know you did it. Do I have to tell you? Y'all need to remind you? I like to, because I got hypervigilance anyway, you know. Give me a chance. You said, Brother Brooks, ain't nobody that cold. I'm telling you, somebody in here right now done this to somebody, and you're still doing it right now. And you know you're doing it. You know you're doing it. You know you're doing it. And you the one that's guilty. Because you got PTSD. You have a spiritual disorder in your own house, in your own family, with your own wife, with your own husband, with your children got a PTSD because they saw what you did to mama. And they saw you act it out, bruh. Women won't even go back to their husbands because they got spiritual disorders. They don't like what he did, you know. I'll never forget he cheated on me. But you done asked God to forgive you 10,000 times. The brother asked you one time, you can't forgive him. You're not spiritual. You're not spiritual. You have a spiritual disorder. Here's a man, case. I got some personal case studies I'm going to share with you. Maybe next week I'll start, because this is just the first piece of the cold blood. I got some other stuff coming, and I'm doing case studies. I got some case studies, but this one is about a daddy. Y'all seen this one? See those two little babies? See the baby? The little girl and the little boy. You know why? Because of mama and a daddy. They both had spiritual disorders. And the daddy acted out his PTSD. And this little 8-year-old boy said, "Daddy, I'm sorry." Right here in Houston. While he said, "Daddy, I'm sorry," daddy slit his throat. And the little girl, he slit her throat first. And the little 8-year-old boy looked at his daddy, "I'm sorry." And while he said, "I'm sorry," he slit his throat. And then he left his estranged wife a note. He said, "Here she is." What a trauma for her, huh, that day? He left her a note. Don't that look like a traumatized mother? How would you like to walk in and see your children with their throats cut? What caused this man to act out like this? What caused him? He had PTSD in his life. Authorities said he told his estranged wife because they couldn't get along. She could locate a spare key in the apartment so that inside she would find a present. He had left her a present. Court documents show that in part of his missive, he allegedly wrote that his wife would have to carry the burden of our souls the rest of her life. In other words, "I want you to see your children dead." He tried to kill himself, but it didn't work. He stayed, but he's going to have to give an account now. But he was going to give an account to God anyway. But what am I saying? Is this an unusual case? Or do some of us got some stuff like this going on in our life? See, you can't stand your ex-wife. You can't stand your ex-husband. You married him. You said, "I do," but it didn't work out. And now, because you have a spiritual disorder, you disown them. You don't have nothing. They don't have nothing to do with the kids. You don't let them have nothing to do with the kids. You could kill them right now if you could. Or you could want to inflict some pain. And he wanted to inflict some pain so bad on her that he wanted to kill her two babies and leave them there and say, "Here's your present." You say, "Brother Brooks, the dark side is when people who have been hurt, people who are going through trauma or pain, cannot bring it to a spiritual order. They act out." In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says this. Here's what happened. Here's where the darkness come into it. You notice what he said? I'm about to close. I got to get this closed this afternoon, sir. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It's the rule of darkness, old Satan himself. In other words, when you have a spiritual door, the reason why you're behaving like you're behaving is because you're not behaving like a child of God. Listen to the Bible.
"This then is the message
which
we have heard of him.
Which we've heard of him.
And declare unto
you
that God is light.
God is light.
And in him is no darkness at all."
No darkness in God at all. Read.
"If we say that we have fellowship,
With him
and walk in darkness, we lie and not the truth.
Uh-huh.
But if we walk in the light,
as he's in the light,
we have fellowship one with another.
And
the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say
we have no sin,
we deceive ourselves."
So it's not that I'm not going to sin. That's not it. It's that I'm not dealing with the sin in the light. In other words, I'm not dealing with the sin the way God told me to deal with the sin. What I'm dealing with it in darkness, and the adversary, the tempter, the slanderer is the oppressor, and he has power. That's why that man cut them children's throat. But whose throat you done cut with your words? Who done pulled the trigger that you can't take it back? How many times do you say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it, I didn't mean it. But you did, you did. You said it. And that's why you destroyed your wife. That's why she can't stand you. That's because you pulled the trigger and you can't take it back. Why did you ever pull the trigger? Why did you ever say the words you said? Because you have a spiritual disorder. Because those who walk in the light don't talk like that. That's another thing. I talk about when you're spiritual, what you do. Well, this is, I just want to jump ahead. Like, I can't jump ahead. Don't let me jump ahead. Y'all all right, ain't you? Huh? I lost my handkerchief. I'm going to close with this. This PTSD, this spiritual disorder, is tearing up homes, families. Look at the divorce court. Look at the rates of rape and murder, child molestation, adultery. Look at all of the things going on that are inflicting pain in the lives of people. Children traumatized for the rest of their lives by their own mama and daddy. You want to know why? Because mama got a spiritual disorder, and so do daddy. Let me give y'all some. It ain't nothing but a horrible pit to be in. It's dark and black, and it's dismal. Teens in horrible pits brought on by peer pressure, bullying, dysfunctional homes, kids that were molested, committing suicide, trying to escape the pain, closing their ears from what they heard from mama and daddy, her daddy verbally beating and mentally torturing their mama. Young adults in horrible pits brought on by single parenting. The man left me. He took what he want. It's me and the babies. It's loneliness. People have career failures, school pressures, unplanned pregnancies, out of wedlock situations because you had a spiritual disorder. Adults in horrible pits brought on by marital problem, marital unfaithfulness, nasty divorces, physical sickness, spousal rapes, financial burdens, secrets in their home, secrets in their life, foreclosures, bankruptcies, leaping in different rooms, homes are in trouble. Because somebody got a spiritual disorder. Parents in harbor pits brought on by disrespectful, disobedient, and troubled children. Not just teens, but grown children who are still living in ways that lead them to jail and prisons, and the parent, the mama, have to deal with her child is locked up, have to deal with my child is in prison. They're dealing, my child is on drugs, on alcohol. My child killed herself. Mama got to live with it. Old enough to help their mama, they're killing her. Old enough to live on their own, but still at home with parents. Increasing their anxiety, decreasing their longevity of life. Why? Why? It's the flow of what? Cold blood. What does cold blood come from? The dark side. You ever seen blood comes out bright red? And then as long as it's in the air, it get what? Darker and darker until it clots. And some of you have cold blood. You say, well, Brother Brooks, tell us how to fix it. Well, that's coming. That's coming. I'm gonna give answers. But let's just pull the scabs off right now. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to pull the scab off of the husband, off of the wife. I'm trying to pull the scab off the children and get them fixed. Amen, somebody. Y'all with me? And once we get it fixed, we get the spiritual in order, then the PTSD stress goes in order. That make sense? The flow of the cold blood. Oh, man, I got some more. I better stop right here, huh? One more verse. Can I? Say amen. Amen. I'm going to do it anyway. Just last one, the pit. Here's what happens when you get in order. Psalm 40, verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. Boy, if I was one of them reverends, I would have got it. Somebody bought me a towel or something. Since I'm a church crowd, right? Listen, here it is.
I waited patiently for
David,
the Lord.
Here's what David. David was in a pit. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord.
And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and establish my going.
See, what God wanted to do is for you to come to him. If you come to God to get your life in order with God, you got to appeal to him. He's leaning over your pit. He see you down there. David said, he leaned over unto me, inclined to me. He heard my cry. And then he says, establish my going. And he put a new song in my mouth.
Even praise unto our God.
Many shall see it.
And fear.
Fear.
And shall trust in the Lord.
Blessed is that man
that maketh the Lord his trust.
And respecteth not the
proud. Nor such as turn aside to lies.
So he's saying, all David is saying is that David had a dysfunctional family. He had all kind of stuff going on with him. But David said one of the things he did was lean. He was in his pit looking up. Just like you doing. And God is saying, I want to help you. And you cry to him, he'll reach down, pull you up out of that pit, set your feet on ground, till you go on living your life. You don't have to live in post. Live in your future. Because there's a better place, a better home, and better promises. I don't know if this is going to help you or not, but I'm hoping somebody it'll help. You know who it starts with? Brother Brooks. Not only can I remember when I hurt people, I know I hurt them, and I'm going to tell you how to fix this stuff. But I want you to think about it. Is it you? Is it you that I'm talking about tonight, this afternoon? If it is, nobody with PTSD can be helped until they want help. And if you want help, tonight the first step is to come to the Lord. You say, how you do that, Brother Brooke? By believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. By knowing that he hung, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary. Believe that with all of your heart. Know he suffered for you. And yes, he flowed blood, but it wasn't cold blood. It was saving blood. It was the blood of the cross. When they pierced him in the side, out came blood and water. They took him down off the cross, buried him in a tomb. He resurrected early Sunday morning. And what he said is, go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. In other words, he will forgive the past and heal the trauma. That's why he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You hear that gospel, you believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, be baptized tonight for the remission of your sin, and the Lord will add you to the true church, the only church in the Bible that is the church of Christ. Amen. Part 3, PTSD, the flow of the cold blood comes from the dark side. More to come, because there are some specifics that come in the dark side that I'll deal with next week if you'll come back. Amen.
Amen.
If you're here tonight, you need to be baptized, we want you to come. If you need prayer, we want you to come. Remember, I already asked prayer. I don't know who got it. I've asked for prayers for Sharon. If you need prayer, I don't want you to come. If you want to make a confession, we want you to come. We want you to come. We want to come. Because think about it. Why can't we listen to sermons like this? Because God has had grace and mercy. He's given us this chance to let the past go and be like God. He forgives everything in your past. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good? That's a good lesson, Brother Brooks. I like it.